Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Radio coming your way. I am now on the telephone. Everything's acting crazy on my end out here, so I'm sitting here on the phone. So that was E. Michael Jones and Alex Jones, and the conversation went on quite a while and quite fascinating. Of course, he had to tiptoe a bit. I'm sure he got talked to before the interview started, but it's still kind of breaks a little bit of new ground, especially lately. So gives Dr. Jones some exposure to a larger audience, and maybe they can all start looking up his books, looking at Culture Wars magazine and so forth. Now, I wanted to play that, Ken, if you would get clip two ready. This is about this new district attorney out here in San Francisco. And this is your nationwide move to get all these radical Marxists put into these prosecuting and district attorney offices throughout our country, to go completely soft on crime, selective enforcement, probably mostly against, everybody's favorite demon, the white male, and then let up and then basically cause this chaos in all of our major cities by going completely soft on crime. We've already seen this on the Western Seaboard, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego, and so forth, where these feces on the streets, non-enforcement of, people shooting up heroin in public places, the whole nine yards. So let's listen to clip two. Very alarming. Go ahead, Ken.
Meanwhile, back in San Francisco, the son of a couple who helped kill two cops and a guard in the infamous Brinks armored car robbery was just elected district attorney of San Francisco. Chesabu Dean learned he won the hotly contested race last Saturday while flying back from visiting his convicted dad in an upstate New York prison, according to the LA Times. Just a little background on San Francisco's new revolutionary district attorney. Bu Dean was 14 months old when his parents, David Gilbert and Kathy Bu Dean, members of the domestic terror group Weather Underground, dropped him off at a babysitter's. This was October 2nd, 1981, then went and helped pull off the notorious heist in New York City. Police Sergeant Edward O'Grady and Officer Waverly Chipper Brown, as well as Brinks guard Peter Page, were killed in the robbery and its aftermath nearly four decades ago. The Underground committed the crime along with the Black Liberation Army, in the hopes of scoring some loot to continue funding their joint anti-government campaign. Now this is the part where things get even stranger. Chesabu Dean ended up being raised by Underground leader Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn in Chicago, while his parents were shipped off to prison. Only in California. That's right, folks. This new revolutionary, in charge of enforcing the laws on the streets of San Francisco, was basically raised by Bill Ayers. The 39-year-old Yale University graduate and former Rhodes Scholar made no secret of his parents' notorious past as he campaigned for DA on a platform of criminal justice reform. Quote, "Growing up, I had to go through a metal detector and steel gates just to give my parents a hug," Bodine said in a campaign video. His mother was paroled in 2013 after serving 22 years behind bars. She later created a firestorm when she went on to teach at Columbia University. Gilbert is still currently behind bars. Their young little revolutionary previously worked as a deputy public defender in San Francisco. And get this, He also once served as a translator for late Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. When Boudin is sworn in as San Francisco's new district attorney, he said he will immediately get to work reforming the city's criminal justice system. Quote, "Some goals like ending mass incarceration will take time, but others, like doing away with gang enhancements and ending money bail, will begin on day one," he said. Ending mass incarceration under the twisted logic that there are a lot of people in prison puts a lot of thugs out on the streets to prey on the locals. In Chavista, Venezuela, that was useful for keeping the street protests down, of course. Boudin uses the more Sorosian argument that the only reason these criminals are in prison is because of racism, not because of anything they might have actually done. He also says he wants to end gang enhancements, which means extra charges for doing things gang leaders want their loyal soldiers to do, such as pick off innocent bystanders to prove their worthiness. No wonder the police officials' union called a Chesa DA ship a gangster's delight. Gang enhancements, said young Chesa, are explicitly racist. His other transform initiative is to end money bail for other acts of thuggery. Ending money bail will make it even more profitable to commit crimes. Keep in mind that already every thief in San Francisco gets a free $950 to steal from merchants, as it is, given that no one gets busted for anything less. So now there's no need for cash bond for even those who are willing to take more. His campaign was fiercely opposed by the local police union, which reportedly spent more than $650,000 to counter his candidacy. Law enforcement officials have warned about the message being sent from his platform as the new top prosecutor rails against the criminal justice system he's been elected to lead. Oh, and of course, this privileged little communist absolutely loves all things homeless, so he will be immediately decriminalizing public defecation. I'm sure camping anywhere you feel like will come soon after. This guy has to be Soros' top dog. And how interesting will it be watching Nancy Pelosi's home turf transform even faster into a third world hellhole? Mr. Boudin was brainwashed at a young age and is striving for by Bill Ayers. Stay tuned over the next few days. I will be posting a video discussing the hatred Idaho residents have for their new Californian transplants. Good stuff. And on that note, I'm going to call it a day. If you liked it, hit that like button.
All right, so another symptom of this kind of a more of a stealth war, okay, on what's left of the, you know, criminal justice system. Now, civil asset forfeiture and all the weird stuff, nobody's for that. But at the same time, you see this tactic, okay, being employed, which is basically, this is created chaos from the prosecutorial side of the house. Decriminalized. I mean, it wasn't even hardly being enforced, but now you're going to decriminalize defecating out in public. You see, they're making everything ugly. They're making everything completely lawless. Now you've got to steal so much to even get, you know, I mean, how's a small business already where the rents are crazy? How are these people trying to, you see how this is a total shutdown of anybody that's not part of basically the apparatchik system? This is where we're going. And so, and you're going to see this all across, unfortunately, all across the country in these areas where people are zombified by this kind of modern American leftard ideology. Where, you know, and look, the right tards got their problems as well, but this is a war on just the natural order. This is the war on basics, decency. And unfortunately, there's been a hostile takeover of the Democratic Party. It's been happening for a long time. I've watched it. But now the loonies are in charge of the asylum. And so now we're watching the bottom fall out. All right. Let's see here. Let's talk about this kind of war going on in conservative circles between the Charlie Kirks, Turning Point USA, Ben Shapiro types, and the more hardcore hardliners on immigration. All right, so Ken, get clip four ready. But this is Faith Goldie, and this was done on the V Dares YouTube channel. And this is a kind of a good breakdown of this. And look, this war has to happen between the neoconservative types and the true nationalistic types before anything can happen. You've got to clean up your own backyard before you can go do battle on the other side. Unfortunately, the Marxists, the Alinskyites, are much more monolithic. Their tactics are much more cohesive. And so regular people like us are at a big disadvantage when you try to go to war with these people, because they own the media. Predominantly, they own all the big tech platforms. And so where we're good is, for right now, is, you know, kind of just ethos, man on the street, firearms ownership, and all this. But you see them going to war with that in Virginia and in other places. And so we've got big problems, but let's go ahead and roll clip four.
Okay, first things first, the background before we get into why a war being waged with troops of Zoomers at the front lines will determine the future of the Republican Party and indeed the United States of America. This is Charlie Kirk. He leads Turning Point USA, the largest conservative youth organization in the country. TPUSA's power cannot be overstated. It rakes in millions of dollars and tours universities across the country while boasting close relationships with the whole Trump family and even the president himself. To his credit, Kirk does have a high verbal IQ, but the ideas he espouses, like socialism sucks and taxation is theft, herp derp, aren't exactly original or timely. Simply put, Charlie Kirk touts tired neoliberal tropes that are becoming increasingly unpopular among today's truly conservative class. Just watch one audience's reaction when Kirk tried to keep them on the plantation after Tucker dropped one too many economic populist red pills.
But, like, if you start with these inflexible theories, you wind up where we are now, in a country where a small number of people are taking all the spoils, and you guys are shafted!
So I would disagree, Tucker. We're not getting shafted. I mean, no, let's talk about this.
They literally laughed at him. As Americans edge closer to 2020, Kirk has morphed from a tired "free markets will win us the culture war" neoliberal sloganeer into something more akin to, well, an establishment Democrat pushing left-wing policies and principles. For example, while Kirk has long condemned identity politics, he's become really fond of staging identity-focused events for every group. Blacks, Jews, women, Latinos, everyone, except America's shrinking parent culture. But perhaps his gravest sin, Charlie Kirk has taken to Democratic talking points on immigration, of all things, repeating these talking points verbatim.
Upon graduation, we should staple a green card behind your diploma.
As VDare.com's James Kirkpatrick notes, the whole point of the Donald Trump candidacy was that we thought we would be getting something different than what Conservative Inc. usually offers. Unfortunately, the original sin of the Trump administration was giving the establishment he had just defeated control of the White House. It wasn't just giving the Beltway right control over policy. Trump's administration also supports lame so-called activist groups that boost tax cuts for big business, deregulation, free trade, and other policies the Trump base simply doesn't want. How does the organization try to keep young people who face radical multiculturalism on campus on board with tax cuts for corporations pushing leftist policies? The answer is by slavishly supporting President Trump. And Kirkpatrick isn't alone in his observations. With TPUSA running the biggest so-called right-wing youth group in America, seemingly with all the Trumps on speed dial, many real right-wingers have been itching to call out Kirk's counterfeit conservatism. So this semester, when TPUSA's top brass announced a cross-country tour, something beautiful happened. A revolt.
My stance on Israel, I'm not going to back away on it. My stance on immigration,
is a mainstream position. How does anal sex help us win the culture war? I'm going to let the gay man answer that.
Wait a minute. So can I ask you a question? Can you have the balls to ask the gay man on the stage that question and don't defer to him? Ask me that question. I will answer you that question. I'm going to ask you. You already asked the question, so I'm going to answer that question. This is America.
You don't play by the same rules. Let me tell you something. I bet you engage and go on online dating because you're impressing no one here to get a date in person.
At the end of the day, there are only two possible outcomes in this battle for the soul of the American right. Option one, Conservative Inc. sustains these blows and remains in power. Option two, the America First crowd performs a coup and successfully overthrows the establishment right types. So let's crunch some numbers that will be born of Conservative Inc.'s continuation in power. Conservative Inc. types like Charlie Kirk insist America isn't a people. It's just an idea.
America's just a placeholder for timeless ideas. And if you fall too in love with, the specific place and all this, that's not what it is. Israel would be an exception because there is a holy connection to this land.
The U.S. Census Bureau population projections, in 2045, whites will account for less than 50% of the population in the United States. Given that the Democratic Party's policies do not point towards the maintaining of our American ideals, and given the most groups other than whites overwhelmingly vote Democrat, how can we be sure that said American ideals will be maintained when millions of immigrants come in with majority Democratic support? Can you prove that our white European ideals can be maintained if the country's majority is no longer made up of white European descendants?
I'm always interested by this argument. How are we going to maintain our white status? So let's play out that racist idea. And all of a sudden we let a bunch of French people in our country. Let's play that idea. We let a bunch of German or French people who are all socialist and hate our values. The insinuation of your question is that somehow race and ideology are intertwined together.
Census Bureau projections show that the U.S. population will be majority-minority sometime between 2040 and 2050, a staggering drop from the white share of U.S. population from around 90% as recently as 1950. And for those who think the president is somehow bucking this trend, well, while Trump boasts a great record on initiatives benefiting POCs, he's not actually doing much to save whites from demographic displacement. In fact, President Trump's proposal to marginally cut legal immigration rates would only delay the date that white Americans become a minority of the population by as little as 1 to 5 additional years. That's also in part because, despite all of Conservative Inc.'s focus on McConomy, turns out there's little correlation between big bucks and more babies. In fact, U.S. births just reached their lowest in 3 decades, despite an improving economy. The fertility rate of 1.7 births per U.S. woman fell another 2%, meaning the current generation isn't making enough babies to replace itself. Meanwhile, whites and Chinese, the only two demographics sitting below the national average, are having even less babies. Fun fact, already the majority of Americans under 15 are not white. Naturally, though, none of this math matters to Conservative Inc. Again, America is just an idea, and demographics are irrelevant to that idea. But there is one type of math that does matter to the Beltway right. Electoral math. So let's frame demographics in terms they understand. As VDare.com's Pat Buchanan points out, the bell has begun to toll for the GOP. More diversity in America spells the electoral end to the Republican Party. This is their crisis. America's quickly shrinking white majority accounts for 9 in 10 of all Republican votes in presidential elections. Meanwhile, minority Americans are the growing backbone to the Democratic Party alone. To put this into context, here's what the 2016 electoral map would have looked like if just non-college educated white voters turned out to the ballot box. However, come 2020, Hispanics are projected to become the largest minority group in the electorate, closely followed by Black Americans. This as non-white and foreign-born shares of the electorate are rising overall. So what does this slide in demographics mean for the fate of the grand old party and the notice-nothing grift gatekeepers on the Beltway right? Well, one word. Extinction. So no, Conservative Inc., it's not college-educated whites that are turning states like Virginia or Texas or the former red state of California blue. The GOP Trump is losing because of immigration. Diversity is not just a strength, but a voting bloc. For heaven's sakes, Texas. Texas is going the way of California. More diversity means more poverty. More diversity means more violent crime. More immigration means more drug epidemics. It means more human trafficking. More diversity means a militarization of America's police force. It means more threats to national security. More diversity means more polarized politics. More immigration means more income inequality. More immigration means higher healthcare costs. It means higher welfare costs. It means higher housing costs. More immigration means a bigger environmental footprint. More immigration means American students suffer in the classroom. More immigration means more angel moms. But according to Charlie Kirk and Conservative Inc., simply noticing any of this makes you a Nazi. Demographic changes have undeniable political and social implications. Let me repeat that. Demographic changes have undeniable political and social implications. So, our conclusion, if Conservative Inc. wins this war, America loses. Permanently.
All right, you can stop it there. And I'm glad that I heard somebody else saying the environmental footprint. Okay? And I've been saying this for years. Even when I first came on the air, I was like, you got the Greta Thunbergs and all these people whining about the environment and the global warming and all this. And look, there's a massive environmental problem. Don't get me wrong. The plastics out in the ocean, all that stuff, chemical dumps all over the place, mining dumps, all this crap that happens, oil spills. I get it. Nuclear waste, big time problems. This 100 plus reactors we got in the country. If the grid goes down and all the spent fuel pools, they're going to go up like a torch, and then allegedly, you could find some people that argue with you there, but. Big problems anyway, but you let all the mobs of people in your country, and then you're going to try to present yourself as an environmentalist to me, which your refugees welcome sign, but at the same time you want to act like you're for the environment. You can't be both. You cannot be an environmentalist and then want to have your country overrun with so-called refugees, which are, you call them invaders, whatever you want to call them. But you can't be an environmentalist if you want to invite millions of people into our country. It's impossible. It does not jive. Okay. Now, I want to get to this Mexican Civil War thing. So Dave Hodges has been reporting on this. Okay, insider sources reveal a CHICOM, Chinese Communist-initiated Mexican Civil War, which will spill over into the U.S., okay? And so basically, and he's got confidential informants and so forth. Okay, so Mexican governor backs Trump and defies the Mexican President AMLO on combating drug cartels, okay? So ABC News recently reported that Governor Cabeza de Vaca of Tamaulipas, Mexico, reiterated support for President Trump's classification of Mexican drug cartels as terrorist organizations. Well, think about them as extensions of the intelligence agencies. And yes, they are in terrorist organizations. They cut people's heads off just like some of the Islamic ones do. I've watched videos of it down there in Mexico, chopping up people. Pretty bad stuff. The governor's initial statement signals a bold stand of defiance against his own president, Andres Manuel López Obrador, AMLO, and was made in the most confrontational way possible on November 20th, a national holiday and the anniversary of the Mexican Revolution in 1910. Governor Cabeza de Vaca made a stand flanked by high officers of the military and Tamaulipas government, clearly mimicking AMLO's appearance in the Distrito Federal with his phalanx of military and police commanders. Okay, so this guy was born a U.S. citizen in McAllen, Texas. And so they're trying to say he's basically sheep-dipped. He might be CIA. But a lot of the CIA is running the cartels, too, from what, all the researchers, many of them, the the big banks getting caught laundering the money over the years, HSBC and Wells Fargo and others. So with that article, and, you know, he's got a series of articles about basically, and then it gets into Bush family connections with some of these folks, and they're talking about basically the Chinese are dictating policy in a lot of areas in Mexico. So talking about Pemex, okay, the big oil company. So they're saying that they have Chinese managers and must now report to and get approval for various line decisions. They feel like they've crossed over and becoming a BRICS nation, okay, and so forth and so on. So you've got this China flexing its muscles, and so the basic premise is that sometime in the very near future that somebody's going to kick off major destabilization around in the border, and then we're going to have it spill over into the United States, and it's going to destabilize the United States, and we're going to go into a martial law type scenario. Now, this is over on Sword Your Fall. What does it mean? November 27th, war imminent after Trump surrounds Mexico with aircraft carriers and admits conflict declaration ready. Okay, so they're saying that the Nimitz supercarrier left its Kitsap Bremerton home port in Washington during the past week and is now patrolling the waters of western coast of Mexico, and that's on Go Navy's website. Okay, the Nimitz-class nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the Theodore Roosevelt, left its San Diego home port in California this past week and is now patrolling the waters off the western coast of Mexico. Okay, now look, there's a lot of exercises that go around off of San Diego. I was on a ship when I was in the military. We went on a Westpac, but there's all kinds of ships out doing maneuvers out there in the Pacific off the coast of San Diego. Okay, so this could be kind of, let's just say, hype. Okay, so anyway, so they're talking about, remember the big Mormon, so-called Mormon massacre, and then of course Sword Your Fall over here saying basically that some of these people are connected to Mitt Romney, and so, like, you know, family line descendants and so forth. But anyway, they're talking about the CJNG, the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, okay? And now they're saying that they're very powerful, the 22 Mexican states and so forth. And so AMLO saying that they're going to never accept the United States designation of the cartels as terrorists, okay? But Trump saying, hey, I don't want to say what I'm going to do, but they're going to be designated as that. They're losing 100,000 people a year. It's basically Syria, losing a lot of people, of course, in that big conflict of, you know, artificial conflict. But Mexico, I mean, you know, this is on our southern border, The amount of murders and deaths and strange things that going on there, Chinese influence happening and so forth, very disturbing, okay? And so now they're saying that the U.S. Army's first significant reorganization since 1973, and that's on U.S. News, the New Futures Command, okay, moves to Austin, Texas. All right, and so they're saying that basically they're moving a lot of military troops down by the border, which I'm not mad at. You know, a lot of us have been saying, hey, bring a lot of our troops home, put them down there near the border, and let's get this under control. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, so last half hour coming your way. Now, so we've got a lot of troops stationed at the border, order over 5,500, and that was on military.com back in September. Okay, so you got 15,000 Mexican troops on his side of the border last year. I mean, you know, in this past June, and that was off CNN, so hell, you don't know, but... So you got a lot of troop buildup, okay, on both sides of the border. Now Trump, and then they tie this in, this supposedly this 9th of December release of the long-awaited IG report. And a lot of people are very skeptical of what this IG report, you know, about the spying and all the garbage. Trump saying it's going to be a historic moment, okay, when that was on One America News. And so... basically, and they're talking about unshackling Trump so he do what he's supposed to and protect the American nation and its peoples from a war in Mexico that's about to spill over into its borders in the United States itself. All right. So, you know, it could be all hype. Hopefully this doesn't happen. Hopefully, you know, the gangsters running things, you know, something's up their sleeve very soon. We can all kind of figure that out. But you know, you don't want to see a bunch of innocent people die, but there's been so much evil done in this country and this so-called government of ours that has done to people around the world. It's so anyway, this is Washington Examiner. Ilhan Omar, a Qatari asset who passed secrets to Iran, Florida court told. So you got this. You got this Kuwaiti-born Canadian businessman Alan Bender. Okay, so Rick Wiles and all these people have been talking about it. It's all over the place. So he was testifying in a recent trial of Sheikh Khalid bin Hamad Al Thani, a member of the Qatari royal family, who is accused of ordering his American bodyguard to murder two people and of holding an American citizen hostage. Okay, so his deposition was obtained by Saudi-funded outlet Al Arabiya, which reported the allegations on Monday. Now, Ilhan Omar's claiming she's a victim of Saudi propaganda after she was accused of being a Qatari asset and a conduit to Iran during a Florida court case. So she said since the day she was elected, Saudi Arabian trolls and mouthpieces have targeted Omar with misinformation and conspiracy theories. Well, of course, you know, this Rashida Tlaib, this Palestinian congresswoman from the Detroit area. Then you've got Omar from Minnesota area where they this very refugee slash invader influx. Now, basically, they're garnering enough political kind of clout to start electing their people in these areas. Okay. And the CARE Council of American Islamic Relations is all tied in with these folks, and a lot of strange stuff here with these, you know, CARE and the millions of dollars of some of these foreign entities behind them. You know, everybody buys influence, folks. But, you know, the Saudis are no different. The Qatar, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, so forth. Ken just sent me something here. But yeah, the whole thing. But back to this Bender guy's testimony. So this thing ties into the Kushners with 666 Fifth Avenue, these same Qataris. They're reporting that basically they got an offer they couldn't refuse, and so they bailed out Jared Kushner on like over $1 billion from some of his real estate stuff, and he was threatening them, basically saying he was going to unloose the Saudis and the Emiratis on them if they didn't, you know, bail him out and all this strange stuff. And so there's a lot of allegations floating around from this guy, and it could be frivolous, but he's done it under oath and so forth. But it's Alan Bender, just kind of a look around on him, and he's tying in everybody, a lot of people from both parties, in with some of this Gulf State money. Kind of interesting. Okay. And I heard some of this on True News, but then I started digging around. I'm like, well, heck, all kinds of people are reporting on this, the Jerusalem Post, all that stuff. Now, on Steve Quayle, middle of the Great Tribulation coincidence, artificial intelligence sent to give life to the image of the beast at the exact time Dr. Tom Horn says wormwood will hit Earth. And that's your kind of revelation prophecies about a great stone cast into the sea. It causes a lot of problems here on the Earth. The image of the beast, of course, a revelation prophecy where, you know, very fascinating stuff. Now another headline, Petrus Romanus, okay, Pope Francis. Fundamentalist Christians are a plague. And so that's on Skywatch TV, both of those headlines. You know, a lot of strange stuff with this Jesuit Pope, okay? California plans force FEMA camp internment and asset seizure for the homeless. Greta Thunberg, okay, this deification of Greta Thunberg that's going on in some of the schools, especially over in Europe, this big mural they painted of her in Times Square. I've been talking about Greta, this little kid that's been recruited in to be the face of this climate change battle, to basically deindustrialize us, turn all the kids against driving cars and so forth. You know, I've been thinking about this Ginsburg justice, Supreme Court justice. Is she getting close to expiring? And this is another kind of avenue why these kitchen sinks being thrown at us here. Another Supreme Court justice. Let's see here. The camouflage pattern all over the NFL. Okay. So, you know, the whole Kaepernick kind of thing and all the kneeling and the kind of, you know, culture war that's just going on within the NFL. Now all these guys are, the whole thing's based on veterans, and they're all wearing this kind of digital camouflage in their uniforms. Just, you know, and now there's this whole thing with giving back to the community and service and all this stuff. That's like, this is all part of this kind of psyop. Like to try to, revamp and to rehabilitate the image of the NFL. And so I'm seeing all this and I'm just like looking at it with this jaundiced eye, like, oh my gosh. Okay. Franklin Graham. So this was a big headline in the last number of days that basically he's kind of theorizing, is it possible to oppose Trump? Is it demonic? Okay, I saw this and I'm doing some reading and I'm like, you know, all the people that believed in the messianic kind of stuff with Obama, they were saying similar things. You know, and a lot of, the latest mantra is that Trump and all the supporters are cult members. And there was some definite cult kind of, stuff going on with Obama during his, especially when he started running and he, you know, all the messianic kind of imagery, the kind of halo around his head and pictures and all that stuff. Very, very strange. But now they're trying to turn the tables and say everybody that supports Trump's in a cult. Then Franklin Graham allegedly says that is it demonic to oppose Trump? Well, on the right issues, no. Now, on the issues that this crackpot bunch, you know, out here in the media and you know, all the zombies, yeah, a lot of that is because they're so caught up in kind of like the spirit of the age that there is some sort of a demonic element to it. But to oppose Trump on stealing other people's oil or some of that stuff, that's not demonic at all. Okay. Iran, all the protests and all this stuff going on. The real question is this fifth columns at work to try to oust the mullahs to do a color revolution in Iran, or is this organic? You know, this is so hard to kind of discern. I was listening to Joel Skousen on Rents the other night, and he came up with the kind of theory that the Chinese counterintelligence are doing a lot of the violence and the protesters. And I brought that up, you know, a long time ago. I was like, this kind of black bloc style maneuvers where they're smashing things and hurting people and all that stuff, that's probably Chinese counterintelligence doing these things to try to make the protesters look bad, to make them look violent, to make them look irrational and so forth. So you know, I thought that immediately when I started seeing like bad things happening with these protesters and then like silly violence. I'm like, that's got to be the Chi-Coms pulling COINTELPRO to try to poo-poo the protests. And so Skousen brought that up. You know, the mantra, and Rents kind of mimics this mantra, that Hillary won by 3 million votes in the popular vote. And he keeps saying, and I'm like, no, Remember Robert Epstein, the guy that testified before Congress talking about how many millions of votes were manipulated for Hillary through the freaking Facebook and Google and all that stuff? And so I don't know why he keeps saying that, knowing the election fraud and election tampering that goes on in these big cities like Chicago and here in St. Louis and so forth. To say that she won by 3 million votes, because you know it's his theory that Hillary's going to jump in, and it's very possible. Bloomberg's in now, and some people believe that by Bloomberg jumping in, that this is going to take the wind out of Hillary's sail, and this remains to be seen. I'm not sure yet, but kind of interesting. Now, last week I played that Rick Wiles True News. Quite a bit of it, the Jew coup show, right, about Trump. And guess what? YouTube took that down, and they took down a bunch of the other ones after that, the 666 Fifth Avenue show that they did, tying in the Qataris with Jared Kushner and all that stuff. Kind of interesting. So Ken says there's a caller that wants to jump on. So we've got Howard in New York. You can come on up for a minute. Howard, what's on your mind?
Hey, Robert. I just watched the Irishman, the movie.
Yeah.
It's just come out, the Scorsese movie. Have you seen it?
No. I don't get into that sort of stuff, but I'll see it, I'm sure, sometime later on. But What's in there that's kind of important?
I highly recommend it because I get the feeling that there's a kind of sleight of hand magic sort of now you see it, now you don't kind of thing. Maybe there was some, Jewish mob involvement in the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, sure.
This character, but it's actually sort of very obliquely admitted. I mean, it spent a lot of time on all this other person interest story about this guy that befriended Hoffa. It's a lot about Hoffa and how much he hated the Kennedys. You kind of get the sense that he had something to do with the Kennedy getting whacked, because Bobby's constantly harassing everyone, and he's going after the same people that helped get him in there, and it's confusing who is supporting who and why. But the Keitel character, early on in the film, De Niro is playing this Irishman who is doing a favor, basically. He's going to bomb this laundromat. The guy that wants him to do it is going to give him $10,000. He says, just some Jews or something are there. And, you know, De Niro doesn't really think too much of it, and he's about to do it. But right at the last minute, he gets called in by his boss, who's actually Joe Pesci. And Joe Pesci sits him down with this big guy, with Keitel, and he's actually playing the character's named Bruno, which, I mean, isn't a Jewish name, but you get the feeling that they're at the top of it. So later on, they're basically saying about how if Hoffa doesn't cool his jets, then he's going to get whacked, just like they whacked Kennedy. And he says, if we can kill the president, we could kill the president of the union, because Hoffa thinks he's invincible. And so it's like, wow, I mean, Scorsese did a good job of kind of, if you're not thinking about that, the average person's not going to see that at all. Like, they're going to forget that Keitel even was in there, because it's the way the film was crafted, sort of like, Cuba, I guess, it was so important. It was so it was so necessary that this crazy cockamamie Bay of Pigs was going to work, and that they were going to make so much money, these gangsters, that's the whole reason, you know, that Kennedy got killed.
Yeah.
And it was all he was messing with the little gangsters. Nothing about Ben Gurion or anything like that, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Dimona, the nuclear program, and that whole deal. Yeah.
Right. And think about this. I mean, the Six-Day War happened. I don't buy that was a defensive thing at all. It was very strategically done, as far as I can tell, when the Egyptians were actually vulnerable. I don't think they even I think that was propaganda that was saying that they all just attacked Israel. Israel just, like, miraculously stopped them all in 6 days. They were just on all sides attacked. I think it was completely offensive on their part. And it happens during the Summer of Love, you know, and we all know about
the USS Liberty right there, right. Yeah.
And I'm convinced that Nam, to some extent, that Vietnam was a whole charade. It was a smokescreen. To some extent, it was to sell. It was to get 5,000 Huey's shot down. That's some money made there. It's to change American culture by, you know, having this upheaval and the hippies and shit or stuff. And when you look at the lasting effect and this thing with Trump Highlands or whatever, the Golan Heights, and that now that's been given over. I mean, that's the lasting thing about all of it, you know, is that the Six-Day War really, in some ways, is the, you know, I wouldn't say that the Vietnamese person who, you know, or Cambodia had their, or Laos had their place bombed to heck. But, like, the strategic Zionist aim going back to 63-60 and all that stuff seems to have been that maneuver. And if getting Kennedy out of the way was probably way more important for that reason rather than Cuba, you know, which would have been what, some casinos, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, you, interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a pretty interesting angle. Anything else, man? I got a couple other callers that are going to barge in.
No,
on me now.
No, that's it. No, go right. for it. Yeah, but check out the movie if you get a chance. All right. Thanks.
Okay, I will. All right. Bye. All right. So bye. We got two callers left in about 8 minutes. So, Keith in Montana, you got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert, I just want to clear some up there. You know, this Mexico drug cartel is just another distraction. It should be well known from all the ex-testimony from all the CIA agents that no matter where the United States goes, they set up a cartel. And this is why NATO's in Colombia. Thing I had Ken sent over to Ken to have, you know, you look at. This is the same premise that the U.S. has users, which is basically Americans, 55 million of them hooked on a product. And this is what they do, and this is how they fund their local government.
Listen to this, Keith. Think about this. The war, the South Dakota meth, we're on it. Their little new stupid slogan. But anyway, but think about this. They go to war on all the domestic meth cooks. Like here in Missouri, we've got a huge meth problem. But you get big time in the feds, but then, of course, below the border, they completely took over. And now they're making this filthy, dirty ice, which grown out of fungus that all these people are strung out on now. And it destroys your body like five times faster than the halfway decent, what they call dope that they cook up here. So now that the Mexicans totally took over the ice production, and it's the worst, most unhealthy amphetamine that's produced now. And then they just dump it all over the place. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. And it's like, you don't see Trump whining about the Sackler family or Prudeau or the other one that's Sackler, Prudeau, and Johnson & Johnson. They were all behind the opiate crisis.
Yeah.
Sadly, they're Jewish. And, you know, this is the same premise. William Cooper outlined this years ago about how the entire cartel was basically being ran by Bernie Beth and those guys. We're at a point now to where all this is just being used as a massive distraction, and of course it's used also to blame someone as the next targeted individual, which in this case would be Mexico, because they can't get the trade deals they want, and so they're going to use other alternative methods.
What's your thoughts on the Chinese fentanyl just explosion?
Well, this gets back to the same thing like immigration. Who controls the U.S. borders?
Well, I mean, allegedly ICE and Homeland Security, but, you know, they're very porous.
But see, with all that control of the U.S. borders and stuff, how does all these drugs and terrorism and stuff ever get into this country? It's, you know, they let it in.
Sure. Well, you know, allegedly, you know, and the shipping container search methodology at the ports, which are allegedly some under Chinese control, and this is how it gets pumped in. But, you know, Long Beach and all the other places where we've kind of ceded some, you know, control to some of the Chinese operators to run these big shipping containers. I mean, my gosh, thousands of them come in here a day, so there's no way to stop it.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, why stop it? Because of the fact that it does. It funds local law enforcement, courts, fines, prisons, privatized prisons. I mean, it's a whole charade.
And it's killing off a lot of young white people, I'll tell you.
Yeah, here's another one, just as a thought. Between the Perdue and Sackler families, between 1999 and 2017, over 400,000 Americans died from overdose.
Yeah.
And this is where you can actually read where doctors were being paid $40,000 to write these prescriptions, where a town, each inhabitant of the town was prescribed enough opiates, 374 or 375 each.
Yeah.
And see, this is the
Rush
problem
Limbaugh,
that we're having.
Rush Limbaugh almost lost his hearing taking all them damn pills with his doctor shopping years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, too bad he couldn't lose his mouth.
All right, man. I got one more caller. I got one more caller. I'm gonna
all right, my best to you.
Right?
Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Yeah, bye.
Chance, come on up real quick. Chance in West Virginia.
Yes, hello, Robert. Before I get to my point real quick, we got a huge problem here with methamphetamine in this state here of West Virginia,
sure.
By the way.
Yeah, we do too here in Missouri.
Very big. And your caller from Sweden a couple weeks ago mentioned, I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before, I'm the best you can get, have you guessed me yet? He mentioned that line in the song. That's a song by Frank Zappa. You might want to play that, Robert, as your bumper music. It's called I'm the Slime. And Frank Zappa bashes the mainstream media, in particular the TV. And particularly the TV media. The reason why I called is your caller Howard from New York mentioned the JFK assassination. I like to recommend the book. I'm sure you're familiar with Michael Collins'
Final Piper. Judgment. Yeah, Final Judgment.
Final Judgment, exactly. That is, to me, that's the definitive book on the JFK assassination as far as I'm concerned, Robert.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, but JFK, he really wanted to get in there to Dimona, and he didn't want to see the Israelis get nukes because he knew what it would do with the Middle East, and he knew the Lansky and the rest of the mobsters, Ben Gurion, and then what's the big one, Menachem Begin from the Irgun, all the terrorists that did the King David Hotel and all that, man, they're pretty brutal guys.
Yep, JFK infuriated Israel to no end. As far as I'm concerned, that's a book. That's a must read for your listeners, by the way. Okay, Robert. Good night. Now, thank you for taking my call.
All right, Chance. Take care. So we're coming up on the end of the broadcast. Some things I didn't get to, the Korean pop star deaths. I mean, these people are dropping like flies over there. I don't know what the hell's going on, whether they've got their little sacrifice system going on like they do here with our little starlets and singers and so forth. Very weird. Let's see, animal attacks. I wanted to talk about this. Chimps, crocs, sharks, they're increasing. All these animals are losing their fear of humans. And this is in the book of Revelation, actually, where the beasts of the field are going to be killing large numbers of people. I think there's something spiritual that's happened with us in the animal kingdom to where now these animals seem to be lashing out at humans and it could be environmental factors encroaching upon their territories and their habitats, or there could be something else where, let's just say, it's something on the spirit realm where now it's these attacks just something to think about and keep your eye out on. All right, folks, that's the end of the broadcast. And we will see y'all next week. Support the network, folks. All kinds of different hosts, all kinds of different viewpoints, and that's the point. See y'all.